opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from frosty Louisville, Kentucky. We're getting ready for the Notre Dame game. This is Crunch Revenge, also known as Mike Lindsay, with
Mark Blakey Baker, also known as at U of L Sheriff 50.
And as the Cards head into this first historic game with Notre Dame, we will talk about the breakdowns, the matchups, the facts and figures. We'll talk about the basketball teams hammering down on Jacksonville State. We'll talk about some program updates. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Team of the week.
All right, Mark. So our whole life we waited for a moment like this.
Yeah.
And we certainly wanted Notre Dame to be ranked when we played them, but they had to go and screw that up.
Yeah, I don't know what that was last week against Northwestern, but it wasn't good football.
But I don't think it's going to matter one bit if we go up to Notre Dame with our Catholic boy, Reggie Bonifant, a quarterback, and beat that Irish Ash.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. And, you know, what's funny is that Louisville as a town, and maybe this is true of a lot of cities, has a huge Notre Dame following. And there's a lot of people, especially Paul Hornung, and, you know, of course, there's St. Nick's Trinity and Sacred Heart and Assumption. Mm. Louisville's a big, big Catholic city.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the allure of Notre Dame, and I've been up there. It's a really kind of neat place. It's way prettier in the summertime than it is in the wintertime.
Yeah, I imagine.
But
from what I understand, the people are never pretty year-round.
I don't know that much about that. But
they're pale, pasty-faced Midwesterners walking around eating a lot of potato soup.
Well, maybe so. But I don't think any of the kids that actually go to that school are actually from the area. And you know, I know actually – I've been on that campus a couple of times and never for a football game, so I'm really excited to check this one off the list. I've checked out a couple of them this year.
Yeah, you've had a lot of fun traveling, checking out a lot of cool stadiums, and this is your first inside access to. For all intents and purposes, this is the bucket list place to go in college football. There's probably three others, but it's going to be hard to say there is one better than the Irish. I'm not saying that there aren't better places to visit, because clearly Clemson, with the weather and the fans and their tailgate, probably overall is better. But when you mix in the majesty and everything that you know about college football, it's going to be hard to top Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just happy that they installed field turf there for the game.
That's,
you know,
right. Can't grow that grass out.
You can't grow that grass up, and it can be really cold. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to have a nice level playing surface. But, yeah, you know, like, I would rather have played Notre Dame early in the season, like we're going to do in a couple of years, when we actually open the season with Notre Dame at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium.
Nice.
Because, let's face it, South Bend, Indiana is a cold place. And right now, in November, Louisville is a cold place, too.
Right.
So, you know, more than normal. So, you know, I would have loved to have seen, you know, a warm weather tailgate up in South Bend, Indiana. I don't know how many of those they actually get. But everybody's seen Rudy.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that Rudy's a crier.
Yeah. And a felon.
Is he?
Well, he was convicted of that. I don't know if it was a Ponzi scheme or if it was insider training on Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, good for Rudy. Way to go. Underdog story lives on. And I think it's just a classic college football movie, and everybody's seen it, and you've seen the campus. And now to go and see kind of this place where, you know, I mean, just think of all of the greats. And, you know, if you think black and white football, it's Notre Dame.
Right.
And so, you know, not, you know, last real successful run they've had was with Lou Holtz. And they did make a national championship game a couple years ago. But that was their most recent success. So we'll see what happens on Saturday.
All right. So, well, folks, just so you know, we're all heading up. We kind of worked out the details right before we started this podcast, because I'm worried about sleep and getting home in time to make a win victory, because I do video, because I do expect us to win, and ACC's kind of put us on the sidelines while we work stuff out. with other videos we've been wanting to make. But we can make this Notre Dame video, and I do anticipate a win, and we're going to head up early. We're going to go up Mark Blakenbaker, Adam Creech, and myself. So Mark will be in the press box covering everything media relations. Creech will be on the field taking photos, uploading to the website, thecrunchzone.com, including around campus. We're going to get there early. We're going to try to bring you as much of the experience that you don't already get when you watch the broadcast, and that's our goal and commitment to you folks, is to kind of get you behind the broadcast. And hopefully when it's all said and done, I'll have some good clips, and we can make a video the next day, kick out something we haven't really been able to do since the Miami
right.
was the last game we were able to do something before ACC kind of stepped
I
in.
I guess really, though, the only video we would have made, you would have made, would have been Boston College, you know, really.
I was thinking about doing that, but it still came back to,
yeah,
I don't want to make a
man worked out. We don't wanna,
in the middle of us working things
out. We don't want to rock the boat, but yeah, but that was the only one we really would have made
yeah.
had this thing not been in place. Yeah. So, you know, really, we've had some really tough losses. We would have right. definitely made them for Clemson or Florida State or even Virginia probably.
Yeah, because we were asking for like a temporary pass. And
yeah, we had one for Florida
probably State. Could have even played dumb.
We had,
I thought you agreed to that.
No,
oh,
no.
You didn't.
We
okay.
definitely had one for Florida State,
okay.
for sure.
Okay.
But, you know, that didn't happen. I was very excited and thinking about all the things that you could do with all this great footage.
Yeah, we got a lot of good clips in
there. When you're up 21-0, and I went back and looked at them all, and I was like, oh, my God, this yeah. would have been amazing.
And
so
you can't catch them all, folks, and that's one thing that's frustrating. Just to let you know some of our process, we'll be on the field. A lot of times we have two cameras, but unfortunately they were robbed, so we replaced it and bought a new one. So with only one camera, I can sum up what it's like sometimes at a game with the very first play of the game.
Yep.
Florida State kicks off to Louisville. I run down the other side with the camera to kind of film a couple of plays to start the game. As I'm running down there, I'm just about the line of scrimmage when a long pass in the other direction goes to Devontae Parker, and he is running exactly where I was standing with the camera,
yeah,
crowd going crazy.
You
I
were
get,
perfect.
I get nothing on camera, and I would have had him running at my camera with the crowd screaming. I was just, and that's the way it goes.
And if he had seen you, he probably would have scored.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
right.
It was you.
You know, and he would have winked and waved and posed. No. But honestly, I mean, that's, you know, so sometimes, you know, it's really about getting lucky. You know, you just put the camera up as much as you can, and sometimes you get something, and then sometimes you're on the wrong side of the field, and that's just the way it is.
Sometimes it happens, yeah. So,
well, let's talk about the game, okay? So right. I know you're getting in. Your analysis is coming out daily of different head-to-head things with Louisville and Notre Dame. We don't want to be naive and think they're not a good team because they lost to Northwestern. They've proven they probably should have beaten Florida State. They had that questionable call. I think some people agree that it was actually a fine call, but
it came
down to the last play. So if they're going to beat Florida State, they're certainly going to have to beat us. So Mark, why don't you break down a little bit of some things that you noticed when you started studying Louisville and Notre Dame?
Well, you know, the Northwestern game was a big-time anomaly for them. They have some players hurt in their interior defensive line that are really affecting them right now. One of those guys is Daniel Cage, that Louisville actually
I remember
recruited.
Daniel Cage.
You remember
Landon.
That name?
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle. And he was going to be a big recruit that Charlie Strong was supposed to get. And he ended up going to Notre Dame after the switch. And he's hurt. And he was hurt for Northwestern. And Northwestern,
I think he's an Ohio kid.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Northwestern is like 107th in rushing on the year. And they had 230 yards on Notre Dame. So that middle of their defense was struggling. And, you know, when I look at Notre Dame, they're a much better defensive team than they showed against Northwestern. But in the last three games, they've given up a ton of yardage. That's been kind of abnormal for them. So Louisville, with Reggie Bonifin coming in here at quarterback, first start since Clemson.
And certainly some hot running backs.
Yeah, and some hot running backs. I have to think that Louisville is going to be able to run the football pretty well against Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame also in the pass is, I think they're about the eighth best passing defense that Louisville's played. And that's an underreported fact about Louisville this year, is how good their opponents are against the pass. I think they played six top 30 teams in passing defense out of nine FBS teams.
Okay.
So some really good pass defensive teams. So when people are kind of complaining about the offense and they're not doing that great, some of it's the defense that they're playing. Some of it's the first year.
But we don't want to give anyone credit.
No, you don't want to give anyone credit.
Why would we do that?
Why would we do that?
That's admitting weakness.
But, Everett Golson from Notre Dame is their quarterback, and he's injured he's got a sprained AC joint in his throwing shoulder. He's played through it. He hasn't missed any practice, but, it is bothering him. And I have to think that they will have an effect in the game, particularly when you look at the way the Louisville secondary is playing, and when you look at the way that Louisville's defensive pressure plays, you got to know that Everett Golson's going to get hit, and when you land, where do you land? A lot of times it's on your shoulders.
Is this going to turn into a Pat White situation?
I hope not, because Notre Dame fans have been clamoring for their backup, and his name is escaping me right now, but it could be, because one of the things that Golson does really well for its opponents is turn the ball over.
Right.
He fumbles the ball. He throws interceptions. Louisville has the number one interception team in the country one interceptor.
I don't think
this
is exact, but I think it's close. It's something like he has 17 of their 24 turnovers.
Yeah, it's
something ridiculous. Like 75% of them are him.
And a lot of them are recently. And it's not been just throughout the season, but it really ramped up and showed its head big time against Arizona State. I listened to that game on the radio when I was driving to Boston College, because it's the only college football I could find in Boston. But Everett Golson, he's the guy that you want to see play. He's a playmaker, okay? So if you're going to see him play, you're going to take the turnovers and you're going to take the touchdowns. Mm. So where Louisville dropped four interceptions against Florida State and Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston was able to make those plays. If Louisville makes those plays, they beat Florida State. If Louisville makes the plays that Everett Golson's going to give them, they'll beat Notre Dame. But they're going to give up some plays here and there against Everett because he's a very good football player.
Yeah.
But he does make mistakes with the ball.
Well, anything we know for sure is if Keith Kelsey makes a play and runs it back, it's coming.
It's coming back. Or if it hits his hands, he's going to drop it or something. I don't know what his deal is.
And
he should have six touchdowns this year.
And everything's pointing towards Jerod Holloman breaking or tying the record in this game. But in reality, when things are that obvious, if you know anything like about Vegas and the Irish and any of it, it's going to be that he'll have zero interceptions in this game.
Yeah,
it'll be something like a linebacker S3 or something.
It'll be like, Burgess with a bunch, Charles Gaines with a couple. Yeah. And, Terrell Floyd is goose-egged so far this year. And that's really surprising because he's actually like right outside of the career interceptions list. And he only needs a couple to get in the top 10. And he's just been sitting outside all year. And I thought for sure he'd be in the top 10.
I think he might have the UofL's all-time
interception.
The pick six to open the Sugar Bowl. So,
absolutely.
I mean, he's done.
Yeah, but he's made.
Thank you. You're done, Floyd. Fans are happy.
I really believe. I think he's made three game-winning interceptions in his career at the end of games, not the beginning one.
He got the interception into the Cincinnati game to stop them from scoring, which eventually we won on a field goal.
End of Rutgers, he did for sure. And I want to say he got another one, but I can't place it right now. But I'm pretty sure it's three games where he iced with interceptions.
Now the Rutgers one, yes, he caught it, but it was like.
Oh, it was blown.
A horrible, and they were just Hail Marying and all that kind of stuff.
But there was time on the clock.
But he did do a running layout dive catch. So,
yeah, he did. I mean, it wasn't like the throw was horrible.
Yeah.
But the catch that he made to make it was really good. They would have gotten the ball back with another chance to, go and win the game. So, big play.
Yeah.
So
shut it down. But weren't they like 60 yards away, though, still?
But there was plenty of time.
Yeah.
So that Louisville had to kneel down the ball a couple times. So.
All right, so it looks like that where Louisville's strong right now, Notre Dame's doing a little bit of limping. Where Notre Dame is a little weak with the turnovers department, Louisville cannot wait to eat them turnovers.
Yeah. Notre Dame's a bad field goal team.
Okay.
They're one of the worst field – like in contrast to Florida State, who's the best field goal team in the country, Notre Dame's one of the worst. They're also not very good in the red zone. So Louisville, if they can keep Everett Golson from the big play, they should be able to win this game defensively. Now, on the other side of that, offensively, Louisville has really killed itself with turnovers as well. Yeah. Reggie's a freshman.
Yeah.
This is a big spot for him.
And it has gotten better. You know.
It has gotten better. He looked awesome against Boston College. Mm-hmm. Boston College's defense is better than Notre Dame's. Yeah.
They're top 10 in rushing defense. So yep. You figure that – and they had a lot of – I think they had a lot of different guys with a lot of sacks, like four or five guys with like four or five sacks or something.
Yeah, you know, the Boston College defense is just – it's just better.
Yeah.
And Reggie looked great against Boston College. Now, I don't know what happened in that game and why Boston College looked that way as opposed to what they did all season. And Notre Dame does have a better schedule than Boston College.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have like restrictions. They don't play any FCS schools or anything like that. So some of their numbers are skewed in that way. They don't get the gimme. So we'll see what happens here. But I just think that if Reggie Bonifant can come in and play a big game and Louisville can get what it's been getting from its running backs and get what it's been getting from its defense, as long as they don't turn a ball over, that this game is very winnable for the Cards.
And we want this win. This will be the Miami game. The blackout was certainly a lot of fun to open the season with. But, you know, we were still kind of pointing at that Florida State or Clemson as some of the jewel wins. We didn't get them. Certainly could have won them both. So this is a big jewel win for that first year of the ACC, never playing in Notre Dame ever, winning on the road. It's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal.
You know, you're done with your conference. You have 7 wins on the year, 2 games to go. If you can win this game, you have a chance to close out the regular season with 9 wins. So it's a huge game because if you can go into recruiting and say, look, you're 1 of Bobby Petrino, you're 1 of the ACC, you're 1 without Teddy Bridgewater, we won 9 games. That's nasty. That's dirty. Yeah. Especially what's going to happen this spring in the NFL draft and what's going to happen in January with all these all-star games.
Yeah.
Louisville is going to have a major impact on the NFL draft this coming spring. The team that it's going to be returning is going to be very good. They have some problems on the offensive line. They're working to fix on them. And
that line's gotten better, folks.
And they've gotten much better.
Yeah.
So this is a big momentum shift. If you lose to Notre Dame, no big deal. You can still win 8 games, beat Kentucky, win your bowl game, or maybe you don't win your bowl game.
Yeah.
That's still a nice season. 9 going into a bowl game with a chance at 10 is a big, big thing. And so if you can go to Notre Dame on the road with a freshman quarterback who could be your future, win that game, that's huge for next season, the college football playoff. You open against Auburn. So, this isn't a playoff team by any stretch. They are 24th in the college football playoff poll. There is an outside chance for the Orange Bowl still, which is very remote.
But it's
still possibly saying there's a chance.
Folks, so you know what remote means. It's not only Louisville has to do things, but bad things happen to other people.
Yeah.
So the fate is not in our hands at all.
Yeah.
So it would just be
– what has to happen? I know it.
Okay.
Louisville has to beat Notre Dame and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Florida State has to be in the top 4 of the college football playoff. Clemson needs to lose to South Carolina. And Georgia Tech needs to lose to Georgia. If all those things happen, which are very possible, then...
But going 4-for-4 is always...
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because if Louisville loses Notre Dame, done.
And by the way...
Georgia Tech beats Georgia, done.
I don't think Georgia's all that good. And Georgia Tech has proven to be one of the biggest surprises of the year.
And they're also one of the more difficult teams to prepare for because they're totally different. They play great defense. And they have this gadget offense that people just don't see.
Right.
So that's going to be hard. You know, Georgia's not going to have Gurley. They've been doing really well without him. The Orange Bowl right now is off the grid. But it's technically still a possibility. The problem with the Orange Bowl, though, is you're going to probably play Marshall. You're not going to play a big-time opponent.
Mm.
So what do you want to be if you're a Louisville fan? Do you want to play in the Music City Bowl against LSU or Georgia? Or do you want to go to the Orange Bowl and play Marshall?
Well, you know,
that's the question that you're going to be asking yourself.
Right. Now, bowl-wise, it's going to be sexier. Obviously, to play the name school.
It's way cooler to have it.
But, you know, if you win the Orange Bowl and you get your 10th win, that helps. That leads you into the next year higher rated and higher regarded and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're multi-Orange Bowl champion.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal.
So, I don't know. So, let's get back to the game.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Who's the star of the game on offense? Who is the star of the game on defense for Louisville?
you know, I think, you know, if you're going to look at offensively skilled players, I think you're going to have to look at Devontae Parker.
You get one.
I think it's got to be Devontae.
You know, okay. I think they've been giving up a lot of running, though, so that makes you have to consider.
But typically that. They don't. And I just think that they've had three bad games in a row. I just think that even with the injuries that they have, that they're going to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Louisville might get 130 yards on the ground or something like that. But they're really going to do some damage in the air. I expect James Quick to be back for this game. I think Devontae Parker will be back for this game. And I think, you know, you're going to see some – you know, you're going to see Reggie Bonifant run a little bit mm-hmm. to keep Notre Dame honest and up front, keep that safety close, especially if they keep him back for Devontae. But eventually, Devontae's going to get his space. Yeah. I think he's going to get two or three touchdowns in this ball game. I think he'll go for 200 yards. Notre Dame's secondary is not very good.
Yeah.
This is something that it's going to be an embarrassment of riches when you look at Devontae Parker versus what Notre Dame secondary has to offer. It's not even close.
Yeah, and Parker will be up because he gets real excited to put his mark on a top team like he did with Florida, like he did with Miami, yep. like he did with all these schools.
And you know, he's off
200
a bye.
Yards against Florida State. Yep. You know,
he's coming off his bye. He's after the Boston College game. We talked to him and he said that, you know, his foot was feeling even better than a week before. And they didn't pass the ball hardly at all in the second half, and he still had over 130 something yards. So my player of the game would be Devontae. Defense?
My player of the game on offense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you go ahead.
Obviously, they're going to have to run or pass more with Reggie than they did against Boston College because they are scared to death of him getting hurt probably.
Yep.
And the quarterbacks that could follow him. So I do think he's going to have to throw it more, but I do think that they can get away with more runs. And so I'm going to go with a running back. And as much as I want it to be Michael Dyer, because since like October 20th, he's like fifth in the conference in yards per carry in the entire conference. I'm going to go with Bad Rad because he's never hurt, always healthy, always ready to go. And I know he's going to be jacked up. So my offensive player of the game is Bad Rad's going to exploit their missing tacklers.
All right.
And they're going to use Reggie to pass, certainly, but I don't think they're going to ask him to pass too much.
No.
I think if Will Gardner was passing, I would think Devontae would have an even better game because Will has he had great quarterback numbers, you know, by the end of it all when he got hurt. I mean, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the ACC.
League. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Bad Rad on offense. So we'll see how that plays out. Certainly, we've got good options. Doesn't really matter. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Defense.
Defense, I think Lorenzo Mauling comes into this game. I think he plays. I think he destroys Notre Dame. I think him sitting out for the Boston College game, him resting his hamstring, I don't think it'll be 100%. But I think this is a perfect game for him. I expect him to get at least two sacks in this ball game. I think one of those will be a sack fumble, and I think he'll hurry the quarterback into a couple of interceptions as well. I think Lorenzo Mauldin or Sheldon Rankins, quite frankly, could both.
You get one.
I'm going with Mauldin. Okay. I'm sticking with Mauldin, but I'm leaving a caveat there for
nope.
Sheldon.
No caveats.
No. With a caveat.
Can't say who I pick, how many horses are running in the Derby, I pick them all to win.
I just think that the pressure that Louisville will bring will create interceptions, but I definitely think that they're going to cause a fumble and recover it because Notre Dame allows pressure.
Yeah.
You know, Everett Golson, he gets hit, and if I'm going to guess who's going to be coming, it's going to be Lorenzo Mauldin, and you know, and I'm excited to see it.
All right, I am going to go with James Sample.
Sample, okay.
Because they do bring the pressure, and he can do that. He can catch the interceptions, and he's not afraid to make tackles in the open field as well. I just think that he can do all the things that Notre Dame is susceptible to. I want it to be Holloman. I want him to have all these interceptions. Yeah, and Sample,
the Benerick Award,
Sample could help open that up, you know, by maybe forcing the play to come out a little faster. But I just think Sample can get to the quarterback as well as tackle in the open field, as well as catch the interceptions. I think Notre Dame, in this Notre Dame game, I think he's going to have a big game. I don't know. Maybe Lozo plays. But I still get the feeling that this is like Parker, you know, likely to be available for the Clemson game. I think it's
maybe.
I think they're throwing it out there, and it'll be just like Parker Clemson, where we're like, oh, dude, he's coming out. Oh, he's not playing at all.
Well, I think they would. You know, I think if you ask him if they want to win Notre Dame or if they want to win Kentucky, I mean, they'll tell you they want to win both. But I think they would really like to win this Notre Dame game.
Sure.
It's on the road. It's a big-time win.
It is.
Landmark. But, you've beaten Kentucky before.
Man, hammies, you know.
Yeah, the hammies take
it's
forever.
Not fair. You know, it's not fair to ask him to play. He'd have to be ready.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's hurting his combine because he could re-injure it, and it could last for months.
Yeah. I mean, a hamstring is worse than a broken wrist in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because you could break your wrist and maybe miss a couple games and be right back out there in a cast.
Yeah.
But your hamstring legitimately will not heal for months.
Right.
And
so that's why I'm shaky on him. I
understand.
I feel like he could be a head fake there just to let them prepare for that defensive end rush, and then next thing you know, it's like, oh, well.
But I think we will get Pio Vatave
that's
back,
good.
And that'll be big for the depth of this defense.
Louisville had an amazing defensive line performance shorthanded without those two guys at Boston College.
Here's a big deal, though. Here's something I haven't mentioned that is potentially huge. Notre Dame has 5 blocked kicks on the season. That is enormous.
That is a lot.
5. Louisville has 1.
Right.
You know, and it's rare that Louisville has more than 2 in a season.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame has 5. Historically, when Louisville has played teams that are very good at blocking kicks, they usually allow one. They have not allowed one this season, I don't believe, unless it was like a
remember
point or something that I just can't recall. But so far the protection has been there. It's been good. But that should be a major point of emphasis for this team going into the game, particularly on punts.
Okay.
Because this is a defensive team. You want to get that punt. You know, it's okay to punt when you have a great defense. Punting's not a bad plan. Taking field goals, not a bad plan. That's some of my frustration in the Boston College game, going for these 4th downs and not getting them. Against Florida State, going for these 4th downs and not getting them inside the red zone. You have this amazing defense. Just take the points.
Yeah.
Take as many 3s as you can get, because you're just making it harder on the other team to score. I mean, you have a great defense. So punting is a big deal, but against Notre Dame, getting that punt off is an even bigger deal.
Okay, so let's finish with a prediction. Louisville versus Notre Dame, first game in history on the road. What you got?
You know, I think Louisville's going to be able to run the football decently. I think that Devontae Parker's the difference in the game. I think through the air, he's going to be able to really, really do well. Notre Dame, on the other hand, is very good at sustaining their drives. They're one of the better 3rd down teams in the country. They get 3rd and short, and they convert. Louisville is really good at preventing 3rd down. So who wins that battle determines the ball game. I think Louisville wins. I think they win 27-13, to be honest with you. I think the turnovers for Notre Dame really hurt them.
Okay. I'm going to go 31-21, Cardinals. Usually, to win on the road, your point totals aren't all that good. You know, usually, it's like a slugfest, and you get what you get. But with the turnovers, the fact that Notre Dame doesn't have that great of a defense, I'm going to pretty much go ahead and say they're going to score home game type numbers on the road and get a 31-21. I think Notre Dame clearly has shown that they can put some points on the boards. Arizona State is no joke; they're a very good football team.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of got blown out of proportion in the kind of final few minutes of that game, for the most part, Notre Dame did a pretty amazing comeback against them with like almost like 4 straight touchdowns or something.
Yeah, they did.
They can put points on the board. So 21 would be a compliment in my eyes to our defense, because I think Notre Dame is, even when they lose, they're used to scoring a lot of points. I think it was 43-40 or something with the Northwestern.
Yeah, but Northwestern's not. They're not.
But I mean, they put 40 on Arizona State, who is good.
So Arizona State's a couple notches below the Louisville defense. I mean, if you look
certainly
at it statistically.
I'm just saying Arizona State's a good team, but no, Louisville's defense is top rated. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're in my opinion, one of the best defenses in the country. If you take the Florida State game out of the equation, which you can't, they're easily.
Really
the
take
best.
One quarter out of the equation.
Let's take 1 quarter out.
3 quarters, it was pretty awesome.
They're the best defense in the country. They had one collapse last year.
Yeah.
And let's face it, those are the games when you screw up for a quarter or a half or even for an entire game, if you can win them, then you know you're a great team. And this team is close to being one, but they haven't executed late in ball games. They haven't gone and really, you know, asserted their will. And they did that against Boston College, finally, on the road, in a kind of a tough spot, because, you know, everything was kind of going wrong. And then they turned it around. So I want to see that and continue, and I want to see this defense continue to lead the charge for this team, especially with a freshman quarterback. So I don't disagree with your prediction. I could totally see that happening, but I just think it's going to be more low scoring.
All right, so there you go, folks. That's the Notre Dame recap. We got offensive and defensive players of the game from Mark being Devontae Parker, Lorenzo Maldon with a prediction of
27-13.
And I'm on the board with James Sample on defense, Bad Rat on offense, and a prediction of 31-21. That will wrap up Notre Dame discussion, but now let's flip it over to some basketball. Okay, the Cards are now 2-0.
2-0, baby.
Opened up with Minnesota in a 4-hour and 55-minute-long game.
It did feel...
Sucked your Friday and entire weekend away.
It did feel kind of like I was watching just like a multi-chapter, like, miniseries or something. It
70-plus
like
free throws.
Unbelievable. Like, I was at a bar
watching
the game, and I don't watch games at bars just as a rule, but I ran up a huge tab during that game because it just kept, he kept going.
Everyone I was watching the game with fell asleep.
Really?
Serious? Well, you know, my wife usually gets up early for work, so she will fall asleep early, but the game was just painfully slow with the free throws and the fouls. So
what about Trez?
Trez was pretty awesome, obviously, with 3 out of 4 3-pointers, 15 of his points coming from jump shots, 30 points, national player of the year, player of the week.
They're not already giving him player of the year. He was good. But
certainly got mentions from people like Jay Billis. If you had an early player of the year leader, it would definitely be Montrez based on that performance. Beating Little Rick.
Like that so much, really.
Yeah, you know. And I think that – but I was glad to see Minnesota make a little comeback because Louisville was starting to exude some force there. And not that I don't want him to earn it. Little Rick has to earn it. But I do want to see his team fight back, make a little bit of a game of it because I might want him to coach Louisville. And I need to know that he can take a team that's not as talented and be real competitive because that is a staple of a good coach.
Yeah, it's a staple of a good coach. And Louisville, we saw Rick Pitino do that in 2012 when he went to the Final Four. That team wasn't as talented, and it was able to go to the Final Four. I think Richard, he's got some good pieces there. Some of the players we actually recruited. Kanate was a guy that came to Louisville on a visit.
Yeah.
We got Anas Mahmoud from Richard. Richard had his eyeballs on him first. So I'm excited to see what happens up there in Minnesota. But the best thing was it wasn't an NCAA tournament game. It wasn't Steve Masiello at Manhattan, you know, and that's the most positive thing.
That's
that,
right.
That happened. It's the first game of the season.
Yeah, and Rick himself said it was hard. It was kind of hard to enjoy that. Glad it's over. But you know, I'm sure they had plenty of fun in Puerto Rico. I'm not feeling too sorry for them with the family. I'm sure they had a great time down there.
If you're going to lose your first game of the year, that's a good place to lose it.
Do it during the wintertime. So Louisville takes down Minnesota and certainly gets the eyes of. The national media with some of the performances of the players, including Terry Rozier, including Chris Jones, who is just looking phenomenal. Now, Russ Smith has moved on to the pros. Chris Jones has really seemed to find he can now do what he does best.
Yeah. I mean, he can harass the point guard. And he was awesome in both games. And, you know, Wayne Blackshear, okay, in the second game, who the hell did we play? Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
About Jacksonville State, they haven't won a game since last January, and I went into the arena.
Don't think they're very tall.
They're not very tall. I went into the arena, sat in my chair at Media Row, and did not know who Louisville was playing until literally like 5 minutes before tip-off because that's how much I thought about Jacksonville State.
Yep.
I knew they were going to kill them, and I don't like these games necessarily, but I was excited to see Wayne, see what he could do without fouls. Because in the Minnesota game, you know, he has 3 fouls in the first half, and that's the same guy that I've been seeing. But he's different. I know that for a fact.
Well, Wayne's energy level has been awesome.
And his energy is great. And
his playing with a purpose is awesome. Like, I've seen a measurable difference in how hard the quickness of which he plays and moves. You know, he seems very in tune in that respect.
Yep.
But until he is not in foul trouble in a big game,
same guy,
then unfortunately we're not going to get to enjoy him for the effort level he wants to give us. He's really given us, I think, in 2013 with the national championship team and all that kind of depth and such dominating offensive players like Russ just, you know, taking the ball. That hurts rhythm of other guys. So I get Wayne kind of feeling a little lost on that team at times. Last year, I think he wanted to get it going, but still, again, you have Russ Smith doing that, and Luke is Mr. Reliable with the deep three and all that kind of stuff. So I think, once again, it was just like, what is my role? And some people, if they're not like a focus, they just drift off. And it's not that they don't want to. It's just like a car with gasoline. If you're not constantly giving it gas, it's going to run out of gas. It's just not going to perform. This year, I think he has the role. He knows that he needs to be the guy. We are seeing the energy and effort all over the place. But until, like I said, we see him not be in foul trouble in a big game, I think it's just going to be frustrating for the Louisville fans.
Yeah, you know, I notice it game one, or game two, actually, here at the Yum Center. His attitude in postgame is way different than his attitude has been the previous 2 years, especially, you know, where, you know, he's kind of sits in his locker and he waits for you to come up and he gives you short answers. Now it's much more of an engaging person. Maybe he's growing as a man. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is confidence in his game. He knows that he doesn't have to, you know, kind of make excuses or anything like that. He can just go talk about his effort, talk about his game, and be confident doing so. And so that tells me more than his three fouls against Minnesota actually does. And I'm excited to see the next big game, December 2nd. Against Ohio State. You know, I know they play Marshall Friday night. I don't know how many people actually even see that game because they're going to be so focused on Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But the Ohio State game on the 2nd of December will be a big deal.
Well, if you're not going to Notre Dame or if you're going to go to Notre Dame a little bit later in the morning, I mean, I think a lot of people going are going to go early. But, you know, go to dinner before the game. It's at 9, right?
It's a 9 o'clock
game. So go to dinner beforehand.
Or if you're going to drive up.
Finish with the game.
Or if you're going to drive up, get off work, go home, take a nap, go to the ball game, go home, sleep, have your bags packed already.
Yeah.
And then go up to Notre Dame. It's going to be a lot. I'm kind of on the fence about going to the Marshall game.
Yeah.
Personally, because it is going to be a big day at Notre Dame the next day.
Well, you got to get it. We're leaving when we say we're leaving. We're going to get up early.
Yeah, we're going to have to get up like 5:30 or so to really. And I don't know where we're going to meet, but we'll talk about that later. But
all right, so got Marshall. So the Ohio State's going to be kind of the first big name type team, since, you know, from Minnesota
to Ohio State.
So we're just going to run right through the Big Ten. So
yeah,
that'll be
so.
December 2nd. Okay.
And it's at the Yum Center. It's a 9:30 start.
Okay.
Which is even later, and that's during the week. I mean, that's going to be a really interesting crowd.
Yeah.
You know, you put Louisville fans in at 9:30, and they know that they have from 5 o'clock to 11, to 9:30 to drink, things could get crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, I'm excited about that game, but let's talk a little bit about the team now. I think one pleasant surprise so far, except for the fact that he too gets in a lot of foul trouble awfully quick, but he is very productive in his minutes, is Chinonu.
Yeah, Nanu doesn't stop, man.
Yep.
He's basically, to me, he's Steven Van Treese, who's a little bit faster, a little bit taller, and can shot block. And so we always saw SVT. He was like this guy that you're like, man, if he was just a little bit faster, he'd have been there on that rotation, and he'd have got that. He'd have been there on defense. He'd have had that loose ball. Nanu's different, and while his game is similar, he's got the physical tools to do more.
Yeah.
And so that's what's really exciting. His offensive game, not there.
Yeah.
His rebounding is there. His shot blocking is there. He's ridiculous on loose
balls.
Takes
up space, pretty good defense for freshmen. You're just not going to, you're lucky if you have a freshman that can play defense.
And here's one thing he can really do that Steven Van Treese couldn't do, is he can pass. I've seen him make 3 or 4 different assists. Maybe, I don't know how many assists he's got on the year, but the assists that I've seen him make, amazing passing. Some of them are the first pass to go to the next pass. And you don't see that out of freshmen. A lot of times when they get the ball underneath, they just look up for the basket, try to do whatever they can to get there. He's looking to pass under there, which I think is really impressive.
Yeah.
Louisville's hitting a couple threes off those. He even had one for a dunk to Trez. this kid can be really, really good, especially with Rick Pitino coaching him down low.
And we need the eligibility of Shaquan Aaron to come around because Louisville's going to need him in the tournament. They need him to gain his experience through the year.
You do. Okay, so their press right now, and I'm going to get to Shaquan Aaron here in a second, but their press is devastating. And it's what I saw against Jacksonville State. I know it's Jacksonville State. It was the most devastating.
I'm not even going to count it.
They did against Minnesota, though, was when they pressed against Minnesota, was equally devastating. And so for what I'm seeing and the amount of ground that Chris Jones and Terry Rozier are covering with Montrezl Harrell on the inbounder, I mean, it's sickening. So if they can press, they can really lay waste to a lot of really good teams.
Yeah.
But they can't do that without Shaquan Aaron. Because when you bring it, if you don't have Shaquan Aaron, you have to play David Levitch. And David Levitch isn't a defender.
Right.
He is a
Nor
guy
is
that you're
Gill,
go in there.
Unfortunately. Anton Gill's the good shooter who's not making his shots.
Right.
And doesn't play defense. So.
And Anton's got a confidence problem now, too.
And I know he'll get better, but someone asked me about him, like, how much of a factor do you think Gill will be? I'm like, well, you don't go from playing no minutes a game as a freshman to a factor. You go from no minutes to some minutes.
Contributor,
and then
yeah.
the next year you become maybe a factor. So Gill is foul help. That's it.
Yeah, he's right. It'd be nice if he could come in there and hit a three.
Yeah.
You know, play 5, 6, 7, 8
And there'll
minutes
be a game where
he'll
have 13 points and hit a few threes.
Yeah.
It'll be like 1 and 8 and it won't be consistent and nothing you can really
But what he
on.
Could do is play consistent defense. Not turn the ball over, and when he gets open looks, hit him.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to be a world beater. He doesn't have to be this guy that we depend on to go to the rim, but he does need to be somebody who can stay in front of an offensive player and can, you know, contribute in some way. Right. What he's doing right now, these last two games, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, you need something different out of Anton Gill. So I think part of it is excitement level, first two games of the year after sitting all year, and wanting to show your game. And then part of it is he just needs to calm down. I mean,
play basketball, ignore the crowd.
Yeah, ignore the crowd. Play it like it's practice. Your coach puts you in there because you've shown him something in practice. Don't panic.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is panic. So.
And I think Quentin Snyder's going to be good, but I don't know how consistent he'll be this year. I think it'll be a freshman to grow type situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do like what he has. I just don't know if we can really count on him game by game. I just think he'll have good games.
He hit two really timely shots against Minnesota.
He did.
Which I liked. I mean, the one in the first half was a big deal. Minnesota was kind of putting up a fight at that point.
Yeah.
And in the second half, Minnesota started to make a little run. And he quieted that and steadied the ship.
I think that was they cut the lead to 9 from like 20 or 18 or whatever, and he brought it back up to 12.
Yeah, and so he steadied the ship a little bit. Like they hadn't scored in a while. Pitino put him in. I don't think that they're going to need a ton out of Quentin this year. 10-12 minutes a game, but it would be nice if he could maybe play up to 18, so that Louisville could press a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, that would be. That would be huge because you can't expect Chris Jones to go and hit, you know, 80% from the foul line at the end of the game if he's pressing like crazy in a really competitive game. And for Louisville to be good, you know, I think they really need that press, to be honest with you. Yeah. So
the quest for the bench is, you know, we talked about in other podcasts. I mean, that's what they'll be going for. Rick himself has said either Anas or Jalen needs to become a factor if we're going to have any chance of being great. And, you know, right now they're not great at all.
He said Jalen is lost.
Yeah, so.
Anas, I actually like what Anas does when he's out there. It's just he's not reliable. You know what I mean? Like, you can see the tools.
Yeah.
You can see that he has ability. It's just that his mental game isn't really caught up to his physical game yet.
And he's skinny.
He's skinny, yeah, but that's. But I'm talking about more of like his intangibles, like his taps around the rim. Those are big.
Yeah.
His ability to handle the ball for a big man in the high post, that's a big deal. If they can get him to start passing the ball really well, turn him into a David Padgett, this could be really, really dangerous. Because he could be a hub with his ball handling ability. He really could
be. He's got good touch, too. You'd think you got to work a little hook shot in there. I know he's more of a mobile forward. You know, he's like a 7'2" forward, essentially. But or 7'1", whatever he is. But I think that since he does handle the ball well and has good touch and stuff like that, you might as well give him that hard to block shot
Might as well. You know, he's going to release it from a high point.
Yeah. So know? I think that's you know, I don't want to turn him into a hook shotting center or anything like that, but I just do think that is something easy you can teach that you can immediately apply to your game within a few weeks. You know, just in practice, just hit just tons of hooks right and left side.
Right.
And then you can immediately apply it to the game and be a factor with it. But all right, so the cards, I think, you know, is there? And there is no word. The NCAA is going to take as long as they need to take with Shaquan Aaron. They've turned in all of their stuff, and they just have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's his ninth grade transcript.
I know, freshman year.
You know, your freshman year of high school, your transcript there, you've played.
Meanwhile, Florida State is dropping rape charges and domestic abuse charges. All these people are eligible.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. You know, you get all these police things. But because a kid, you know, he played throughout his high school career, but he had some bad ninth grade transcripts.
No problem for a sophomore, junior, senior. No problem with his grades. No problem with his SAT. It's like this class, his freshman year.
It's his high school. You know, it's on his high school and his counselors and his teachers and his principal over there. You got to take care of your elite athletes academically and make sure they're going to be fine when they go and sign scholarship papers with the NCAA, with an NCAA school.
Yep.
You cannot allow this to happen at your high school. I know his parents are frustrated, and they should be with that school. They should absolutely be frustrated. And they're frustrated the NCAA is dragging its feet because Johnny Manziel can go and sign 2,000 autographs for X amount of dollars and only miss a half a rice get that ruling in 3 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a good kid that by all accounts, and somebody that Louisville really needs, you know, to but they can't use him right now, and he's losing time.
All right, well, that'll wrap it up for basketball. Just for a quick program update with the Cards getting their hearts broken, and you know, to some degree, Blakeney probably was a little heartbroken because he wanted to be a Louisville Cardinal. Breaking off the commitment there and then missing on Perry Dozier, who did want to commit to Louisville, but Louisville didn't have a scholarship because Antonio Blakeney took it. And then he decides to stay home and play at South Carolina where his parents played sports.
Well, maybe South Carolina would have won in the end anyway.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you know, who knows? But looks like there's a chance, you know, Louisville's still trying to add a guard. And there is, you know, a lot of interest right now towards this, well, just from Louisville. You know, I don't think the fans would be that crazy about him. But 2015 four-star point guard Tracy Carter, as Steve Jones from Courier Journal brought that up. This is a kid who is actually coached by Purvis Ellison.
Yeah,
so
I think we have an end.
There's nothing wrong with making Purvis happy in case he gets a super stud down the road. And, you know, they compare him a little bit to Russ Smith and that he was injured during a little of the AU season, so no one really got to watch him play, but that he's, you know, pretty quick with the ball, moves around, and has that kind of stuff. But ultimately, he's a top 100 guy, which normally we're all like, eh. But Russ wasn't even in the top 100, so
Charles was like 80th.
Yeah. So I kind of got mad when we signed Russ. So what the hell do I know?
Way to go, Mike.
I know. I was mad when we got Tom Jurich. I'm like, why are we going to Colorado State for an AD?
Yeah, well, I like it when you're mad.
Yeah, well, so, you know, that's what's going on. You know, the women's basketball team is rocking and rolling. The soccer team.
They host the NCAA tournament game on Sunday at 6 o'clock. You should go out there.
And in the ACC tournament, they took down number one ranked Syracuse in the semifinals, which was amazing. And then against Clemson. In the finals, they were winning the entire game until the final 30 seconds of the game when
two seconds
Clemson ties it.
2 seconds.
Final 2 seconds.
I watched the whole thing.
They tie it up, and then Louisville loses in overtime. So it was just
heartbreaking
for the soccer team. But nonetheless, they've got a very high national seed at 13, and they beat the number one ranked team, Syracuse, along the way. So nothing short of a successful season again for Ken Lola.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I encourage a lot of folks to go out to that game on Sunday. The weather on Sunday is supposed to be awesome. Like, we're in a little cold snap right now, but by Sunday it's supposed to be in the 60s.
Yeah.
It's a night game. We'll be fresh off a victory over Notre Dame. The Cardinal love will be in the air. The Curbs Revenge video will be coming on Monday. You don't have to sit around and wait for it on Sunday night. Go and keep the Cardinal vibes going on Sunday out at the Dr. Mark and Cindy Lynn Soccer Stadium because it's going to be huge.
The nation's best soccer stadium.
Yeah.
With our beloved team.
First postseason game ever.
First post game. Can never take you were there. You can never take back the first.
That's right.
So, all right, folks. Well, that'll do it this week on the Crunch Zone podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, you can check us out on our website, thecrunchzone.com, and check out the Notre Dame information Mark's been kicking out all week ahead of our big game. You can check us out on Louisville.am, our partner, Stitcher Radio, and also set us up, which we recommend to keep it easy for immediate download on iTunes through any kind of podcast app you can tie together. While the Cards head down to when Louisville Cardinals head down to South Bend Saturday, don't forget the night before they're playing Marshall, and so you got a Friday, Saturday, Sunday ticket to Cardinal sports from basketball, football to NCAA soccer.
It's gonna be awesome. I cannot wait.
So this is the Cardinal weekend for you folks. So that'll do it this week. Thanks for checking us out. Hopefully we'll be talking about some big wins next week. Mark, you got anything for the fans?
Go Cards.